You are welcome to Faith to Faith broadcast. Enjoy the dynamic teaching ministry of Pastor Tibby Peters, the President of Renaissance Assembly Incorporated. This message will take you from where you are to where you ought to be.
Taking the message of faith around the world by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Hear the call. Seize the voice. Fight the fight. See the vision. Seize the moment. Take your place. Fulfill the tasks. Seize the moment. Finish the course. All things are yours. All things are possible. Tarry not. This is the appointed time. These are your inheritance moments. Time for new beginnings, multiple accomplishments, and everlasting harvest. Keep your clouds full of rain. Let it rain. Take the good news everywhere, in season and out of season. Extend, expand, and establish. Hold on. Then rise. Did you hear that? Hold on. Extend, expand, and establish. I thought it was finished. He said, after that, then rise, shine, and reign. Let Christ be Lord to you. Let Christ be Lord through you. You will hear good news and see good things. Welcome to good things.
Father, we thank you for utterance. Today we receive utterance. Let everyone live here with understanding. Let our lives manifest what our ears have heard. Let something penetrate our heart that will alter our destinies forever. Amen. Let this be the first day for the rest of our lives. Amen. In Jesus' most precious name. Amen. If your amen is like Mr. Emma Revelation, I'll be hearing it better. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. You know, I'm almost tempted to say, let's just continue that flow. Glory to God. You know, there are people you invite, you will see something. I see something. Glory to God. Tonight, the title of my message is God is a Rewarder. My opening text will be from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. In Hebrews 11:6, I'll read it in the King James, I'll read it in the Amplified, I'll read it in NLT, just for us to stay consistent. We are in a season where there must be proper biblical interpretation. And don't miss the morning sessions. Will have that. But you see, in the evenings like this, there will be deliberate interventions of God's power. Amen. In the lives of men and women. Amen. Whether you're online or offline, the power of God will meet you any which way. Amen. Lift your hand, say, I receive all that heaven has for me today. I am not living here the same way I came. I'm living here with more substance than how I entered. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Hebrews 11:6. Let's read it together. It says, but without faith, It is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's read it one more time. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe that we are in an age where all of us should be reading the scripture two times. Once has it spoken, twice you should hear. We need the church to come to that place where we are reading the scriptures more than once. We need to give more attention to know the scriptures. Jesus said to them, you err because you know not the scriptures, not the power of God. This generation will not err. Amen. Not on the watch of all of us. This generation will not err. Amen. Because we will know the scriptures. Amen. Amen. And whoever we hand over to, if Jesus tarries, will know the scriptures. Amen. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on earth? I want to say, yes, you will find faith on earth. Glory to God. So here, the scripture tells you something powerful. And you know, it is very important to stay with what the word of God says. Your opinion doesn't count where God's word is. And the earlier you learn that anytime you come in contact with God's word, keep your opinions aside. And allow God's opinion to become your opinion. A lot of believers have not allowed God's opinion to become their opinion. As you leave convention, may God's opinion be your opinion. Amen. Oh, well, how I see it. No, how the word says it. How God sees it. Amen. What the word of God said about this. Let that be the new language that you speak. Now, the scripture have told us, without faith, it is impossible. Now, this Bible you read every day is the scripture that reminds you that with God all things are possible. Amen. So the scripture knows the difference between when something is possible and something is impossible. And the choice of words here, it didn't say without faith it is hard. It didn't say without faith it is difficult. If it said without faith it is difficult, it means it can work, but it will be difficult. It said no, impossible. Everybody say impossible. Impossible. See, a child can tell you it cannot work, but because you know better, you can make it work. You can drive your car to a place and then the car goes off. Then they say, don't worry, start it and move. He say, it cannot work. When the mechanic comes, he knows what you don't know. He will make what could not work for you. What was impossible for you is possible for him. Why? Because he has knowledge that you don't have. Now, when the all-knowing one that knows everything, the omniscient one tells you something is impossible, where are you going to? Hello? So God is saying that without faith, it is impossible to please him. That means there's no action, thoughts that doesn't have a lick of faith in it that God is pleased with. It is impossible to please him. It is impossible. Listen, let this register on your heart. It changes your approach to believing God. In the kingdom, there's no substitute for faith. It is impossible. Impossible. Those of us that are born again, God is pleased with us because of the sacrifice of Jesus. It's not just that the sacrifice of Jesus is that you believed in the sacrifice. Now he's pleased with you. Lift your hand. Say, I'm a child of God. God is pleased with me. Now he's pleased with you because of your faith in what he had done. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? But the scripture didn't stop there. Let me read it again. Without faith, it's possible to please God. For he that cometh to God. He didn't say might. He said must. Everybody say must. Anywhere you see must in scripture, sit down and give it the necessary attention. The same scripture in John said, God is a spirit and everyone that worships him must. He used the word again, must worship him in spirit and in truth. There's no other way. Here again, he said, he that cometh to God must. I pray that you will come to that place where you know that you must. You must. Glory to God. I must. Then he said, everyone that cometh to God must believe that he is. Not believe that he was. Believe that he is. Believe that he is. Not believing that he was. If someone believes that a man called Jesus once walked the face of the earth, but he's dead and gone, he cannot be saved. He must believe that Jesus is alive. What separates Jesus from every other personality that came upon this earth and did great things is that he is resurrected and is alive. No, he was not raised from the dead. He resurrected. Men died and were raised from the dead. Jesus resurrected. He said, I am the resurrection. See the introduction he gave about himself in Revelation 1:18. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And I am alive forevermore. So anyone that comes to God must believe that he is alive forevermore. You must believe that he is. Meaning that faith has to always be in the present with God. Amen. He is. He is. Not he was. Then he says, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, there's a way you read the King James, and you would think what the scripture was saying was that anyone that comes to believe, come to God must believe that he is, and that the one that is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's the way it looks. That's not what he was saying. He's talking about two things the believer must believe. Hello. He's talking about two things the believer must believe. Let's read it in the Amplified version, and then I'll come back here. In the Amplified of Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith it is possible to please him and be satisfactory to him, for whoever will come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that what? He is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. Now, what the scripture is saying is that just as you believe he is, you must believe he is a rewarder. Now, let me say something and why this is so important. We have come to a time where in people trying to show believers light about what Christ had done, we are beginning to make people believe that there's nothing else they should do because of what Christ had done. I believe in the doctrine of identification. Amen. The doctrine of identification, meaning that what we are identifying with what Christ had done even before we were born. Amen. The Bible talks about that as the legal side of our redemption. That means that the documentation was done before we showed up. Amen. Are we together? When Jesus died, is there anybody here that was born then? When he was raised, was there anybody here? Was anybody here? No. So he had already died for us. Amen. Now that was the legal side of it. But the doctrine of identification will be of no use to you without another doctrine. The doctrine of activation. It means that what you identify with, you have to activate. That talks about the vital side of our salvation. Amen. Legally, it has been done. Vitally, through the word of God, we act on what has been done. And then it manifests for us. Amen. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So now, a lot of times, because of trying to tell people, Christ has already done this, Christ has already done that, you know, and there are certain things that I believe that have not helped believers in the communication of the gospel. When you say, oh, God has blessed us unconditionally. I understand what you're trying to say. But is it actually unconditionally? Faith was a condition. Amen. Faith was a condition. Hallelujah. Faith was a condition, my brother. Faith was a condition. Are you listening to me? You were told to believe. Nobody can be saved without believing. No matter how God loved us and died for our sins through his son Christ Jesus, if you didn't believe it, that salvation is of no use to you. So, teachings like that over the while begin to make people say, I don't know, some of you might have even heard the greatest more things, you know. I said in the morning during the minister session, I said, this is the generation that have shared revelation that even the Holy Ghost say, wow. Because Holy Ghost never hear them before. Amen. Wow. Glory to God. Do you know there's a scripture that says that Jesus ever lived to make intercession for us? Does it mean we should stop praying? Amen. Himself took our infirmities. Huh? He carried, he bore our sins and he took our infirmities. Now, does it mean that you shouldn't pray for healing? Hello? Maybe I'm touching something now. So there are certain things that as Christians we are trying to establish. And in trying to establish it, sometimes we spoil something else. Hello? You spoil something else. It's just like you're talking to a young person and you say, well, go to school, go and get an education. Then now you want to make him understand that education is not the final answer, but education is good. But it depends on how you put it. You can now say, Bill Gates did not finish school. So are you telling me not to finish school? Amen. Hello? So you can push a narrative too far that at the end of the day, it starts spoiling a foundational thought. And that's what's happening to some believers in the body of Christ today. Hallelujah. So sometimes in trying to establish something, I say, you need to walk. It's not about prayer. My brother, it's about prayer. Yes, we will walk. Then we will pray. Then we will walk. Then we will pray. Then we will walk like we don't know how to pray. And we will pray like we don't know how to walk. Amen. It must be a healthy balance. So you see someone that had caught light about prayer. Then somebody just comes and makes one statement and shatters all that he had done and built through prayer. In the teaching of Peter, he said, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. Are you with me? He didn't say, now, while you are adding virtue, subtract your faith. While you are adding knowledge, subtract virtue. That's what some people in this generation are doing. If these things be in you and abound, you will never be unfruitful or barren. Amen. So let these things be in you and abound. So, all of us didn't come from the same place. What I'm talking about is our journey of salvation. Our faith journey. We didn't start from the same place. Some people started from prayer. Then they met the word of God. Some people started from the word of God. Then they met prayer. Are you listening to me? All of us, depending on where you were schooled, where you were trained, where you were raised in the faith, we all came from different angles. Now, that foundation that was laid, when you come to a place of higher revelation, it doesn't mean you throw away what was holding you. Glory to God. When we were on campus many years ago, our fellowship on campus, there's this sister that used to attend, and she used to tie her hair and not wear earrings. She doesn't put on any jewelry. Most of the people in our fellowship are not like that, but she loved the word of God. She would come around. So one day I was on stage and I saw her walking, and she was putting on earrings and she was not covering her hair. You know, the thing now looked different. Hello. So, after the meeting, I called her. I said, why are you not wearing? Now, she was surprised hearing it from me because everybody else does not wear those things. I said, why are you not wearing your head tie? Why are you wearing earring? So she was shocked. She said, nobody is wearing hair. I said, so now that's what I'm asking. Why are you not? She said, because I'm the only one that's not. I said, you will wear. You must wear it. Because you don't even know why they are not wearing. You are just stopping because you saw them do that. That's not how the Christian life is. Walk in the light that God has given you. Amen. Are you listening to me? Because Christianity is a journey of convictions. You must walk with the convictions of God's word has come to you. You are safer staying with the conviction that God has put in your heart. Open to knowledge, open to learning, open to growth. But be careful how you shift. I heard the story of Kenneth E. Hagin, how that he was saying that when he started getting a hold of these things from the word of God about faith, about long life, about the authority of the believer and all of that, then he's about to travel. He will just declare, I go in the name of Jesus. So his mom had been a Christian and she couldn't understand it. He said, now, you know, there are people traditional believe that when you want to travel, you walk around the tire. You anoint the tire. You anoint the engine. Are you understanding me? Then you pray in tongues a little and then you go. Now you now see somebody that just says, it is well. You now follow him. You go die. Amen. Hello. Because without faith, it's impossible. Listen to me. The person that woke up and didn't feel a need to walk around his car has a light that is making him say what he's saying, making him do what he's doing. If you don't have that same light, my brother, do what you know to do. There are some people that wake up in the morning and they want to bless their meal to eat. They say, I receive this meal with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Where there are some people, they have to bind and cast every element, keparotos yaraba, in this soup, mare ketuna maya, that will alter my body chemistry. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Then before they eat, my brother, if you don't have greater light, stay with that your lesser light rather than not having light at all. Are you with me? I'm not trying to convince you to stay where you are, not grow. I'm trying to help you that in trying to grow, you will not miss out and put yourself in trouble. Amen. Are you getting where we're going with this? So, in trying to show believers something, statements are made that confuse believers a lot of times. And in trying to maybe sometimes genuinely establish a new thought in the mind of the believer, you now make matters worse. So you have Christians today, in matters of prayer, there are some things they are saying that is surprising us. Amen. Surprising. Say, no, you don't need to, you know, Christ has done it all. Done it all. But Paul, the apostle of the message, told you, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, always laboring for you fervently in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete. If standing perfect and complete in the will of God is just by saying, it's done, it's done, it's done, why will Epaphras be laboring fervently? It means that when it comes to destiny, for things to synchronize, you have to stay a while. It will be shifting. Regedede. And you understand? Until it aligns, then thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven has happened. The New Testament did not counsel long prayers. Fervency in prayer is transtestament. Fervency in prayer existed before even the Old Testament. Before the Old Covenant. And fervency in prayer is required even in the New Testament. Are you with me? So there are certain practices. I call them trans-testament practices. They predate the Old Covenant. But they are not just law. Old Covenant. Amen. And a lot of times, some practices, let me call them rituals, amen, were introduced into the Old Testament so that the people under that covenant could enjoy it. It doesn't mean it originated with that covenant. Let's use prayer for example. Is it the Old Covenant that is their prayer? Men have been praying before the Old Covenant, amen. At least you know Abraham prayed. The Bible says he went to stand before the Lord in a particular place. So we know about the prayer life of Abraham. Glory to God. We know about the prayer life of several patriarchs. Amen. Long before the Old Covenant. Before Moses came on the scene. Are you with me? So when Jesus came on the scene, he didn't say, oh, no more prayer. Instead, he started correcting how they were praying. And he was not against prayer. Rather, he was correcting how they were praying and the motive behind their prayer. But the principle of prayer, he didn't say it should stop. There are practices in the Old Covenant that the New Testament put a stop to. But there are certain pre-Old Testament practices that are supposed to continue as long as the kingdom of God is upon the face of the earth. Amen. Are you with me? Worship to God, for example. They were worshiping even in the Old Covenant. But when Jesus came, he said, hey. Now this is how to worship. Glory to God. And this is what you are doing is a type of worship. See the real worship here. Amen. And that this group of people will be the true worshipers. True worship, I mean, what they are doing is really how it's supposed to be. And they must worship in spirit and in truth. He didn't say worship anymore because we're in the New Testament. The same thing about giving. Amen. Giving had been before the Old Covenant. Hallelujah. It was just incorporated into the Old Covenant as a principle that will help them to be blessed. It's trans-testament. Glory to God. Maybe in the morning sessions we'll get into that. So, sometimes it is the how that changed, but the what did not change. Are you listening to me? The how that changed. Not the what. So we have to be careful when a narrative now comes and then people say, oh, because of what Jesus did, so-and-so is wrong. And who has the guts or the right to say something is wrong when Jesus didn't say it was wrong? Do you know that Jesus never talked down on Abraham? Do you know that? He only showed that Abraham looked forward to his day. He never talked down on Moses. He only corrected what Moses was trying to teach them. Hello. But we have ministers in our day that say that Moses is wrong. Abraham is wrong. Angel Gabriel is wrong. Amen. Where they are going now is that Jesus will soon be wrong. Amen. Jesus will soon be wrong. Jesus himself will soon be wrong. But they are building courage to say it. Amen. Who are you to tell who is wrong? On what authority? Is it not scripture you are quoting? Are you with me? You know, somebody was arguing about the Bible. He's not a believer. I don't know if he believes in God. He's either agnostic or he's atheist. I'm not sure which one now. So he was arguing and said, why would people be reading the Bible? It was written by men. Why would they be reading the Bible? The Bible was written by men. Then he started trying to say things contrary that he didn't agree with in the Bible. Then he said, let me show you. He now brought out a book. This book says, so I asked him, that book, is this Satan that wrote it? Amen. You are saying that this book is wrong because it was written by men. But I thought you were going to quote a book of God. Or book, at least if not for anything, at least you are closer to Satan. At least book, quote, tell me a book that Satan gave you. But now you are quoting another man. Amen. So why should I believe that man? Glory to God. Are you with me? You know? But God is helping us. And light is coming to us. Especially this country, Nigeria. Let me announce to you. Some of you say, Nigeria has a lot of natural resources. No, not only that. Nigeria also has supernatural resources. Nigeria is blessed with both natural and supernatural resources. The gift of men. A nation is blessed by the quality of the prophets and the pastors and the ministers that are in that city. God has blessed Nigeria with ministers of the gospel. That's why the devil is fighting. Amen. Amen. Do you know what the church in Nigeria is doing around the world? Massive things. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. That suggests that they will attempt, but they will not prevail. As you go back to wherever you're coming from, you will see that the gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell will not prevail. Now, I said all of that to say this. There's a scripture I read in Ecclesiastes years ago. It said, do not be overmuch righteous. That means that some people that are more righteous than God. God's word, go back to Hebrews 11:6. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Then, number two, you must believe that he is a rewarder. You say, well, as I came to God, I don't want anything. My brother, I don't know what is wrong. You know, and then some people try to, I don't know whether it's morality that is a higher level of morality than the God's level. You know, there are some people I feel that are so critical that they feel that God has started backsliding. Amen. Yeah. Some people believe that God has started backsliding. God, read your scripture. Why am I saying this? Hey, let it come out right. If God didn't want to answer your prayer, will he ask you to pray? No. If God doesn't want to answer, is God afraid of you? That he says pray, when he doesn't want you to pray, but just say pray. Then he doesn't want to answer. If God said pray, it means he wants to answer your prayer. Then now you now say, I'm not praying because I want God to answer my prayer. What till they talk? I don't get it. Amen. The prayer was not your idea in the first place. You are not the one that suggested to God that he should answer prayers. God was answering prayers before you were formed in the womb. Then he said, pray and I will answer. That he delights in your prayer. Then you start the prayer, you say, Father Lord, I'm not praying because I want anything. No, God wants you to want something. It is righteous to want something. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying. There is no unrighteousness in wanting something. That's what I'm trying to correct. In the same way, somebody say, well, as I'm sowing this seed, I don't want anything from God. No. He wanted you to give and receive. The principle of giving and receiving is God that initiated it. It's just like somebody takes a seed, goes to the back of his house and plants a maize or what he harvests. Are you with me? So, God is introducing himself to you that he is a rewarder. You are not the one that suggested he should reward. Rewarder is who he is. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I'm preaching to the right church. Let me go to Mr. M, their church. Amen. Rewarder is who he is. It's not who he's pretending to be. And he's saying that anyone that comes to him must believe he's a rewarder. No, you didn't get it. You must believe he's a rewarder. Now, listen. You can believe that God has resources, but you don't believe that he blesses. You know, some people say, well, we don't worship God for what he gives to us. We worship him because all that is balderdash. Religious balderdash. God is a rewarder. If you read in, I believe it was Hebrews 6, he said, for God is not unrighteous. Verse 10 or thereabout. For God is not unrighteous. Is it 10 or 12? God is not unrighteous to forget your work. That means that it will be unrighteous of him not to reward your efforts. Amen. That means that God will not be himself if he doesn't reward you. He will be acting out of character. That's what I'm saying. God will be acting out of character if he doesn't reward you. Because he's a rewarder. Can someone shout he's a rewarder 3 times? He is a rewarder. And that is key. You must believe that. You must believe that. God introduced himself to Abraham in Genesis 15:1. He had to introduce himself that way. Put it up. Genesis 15:1. He said, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham. What? I am thy shield and thy what? Exceeding great reward. That's who I am. That means that me in your life, you are already rewarded. Today I pray that God will show up as your exceeding great reward. That, listen, when you see him as your rewarder, he will manifest as your exceeding great reward. Meaning if you have me, you have everything. Amen. You have me, you have nothing to lose. Glory to God. He's a rewarder. Hey, when you sleep, let that thought be ringing. That God is a rewarder. When you wake up, let that thought be ringing. He's a rewarder. As you go about, let that thought be strong on your heart that God is a rewarder. What does he reward? Amen. You know, I believe it's... Let's just go to Ruth chapter 2 verse 12. I'll just show you a statement someone made. In Ruth 2:12, you see that the man was saying to her, he said, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou hast come to trust. That means there was something, because of your faith, it is rewarded. We're coming. You see, if you read the scriptures carefully, when we talk about reward, some people will now say, okay, yes, it's a rewarder. But they now will still bring another issue into it. They'll say, well, when we get to heaven, he'll reward us. When we get to heaven, on the last day, he'll reward us. No. The scripture makes us understand that there are earthly rewards and there are heavenly rewards. That popular statement that Paul made when he said, if only in this life we have hope. Meaning that then we have all men. That means we have hope beyond this world. But at least we have hope also in this world. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. That means there's a reward right here. The last verse of 1 Corinthians 15, it says, be ye steadfast, right? Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. It's talking about reward. Reward. Now, anything you do for the kingdom is a practice of godliness. Is that not so? It's a practice of godliness, right? And the scripture told us in 1 Timothy 4:8. It's put it there. Go there. Let's go there now. In 1 Timothy 4:8, I love how he puts it. 4:8, please. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness. Ever say godliness? Say godliness. Is profitable unto all things. Having promise of when? Of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Meaning the reward is both here and there. Everybody say here. And then there. Listen. Don't ever feel condemned looking forward to a reward here. Don't feel condemned looking for a reward here. It is God's idea to reward you here and there. Are you with me? If you read Matthew 6, Jesus was teaching them about three principles. He taught them about fasting. He taught them about prayer. He taught them about giving. He used a phrase. He said, though you do it in secret, you will reward you openly. Open reward means that other fellow humans will see the reward. And I say to you in this convention, you will come out of this convention with open rewards. An open reward is a reward that others can see. That others can see. Glory to God. I told a story about Obededom in scripture. How that the king was carrying the ark and then the ark killed somebody. King said, yeah, put it in that man's house. Without his permission. And they put it in the house of Obededom. Now, the scripture didn't give us light on what Obededom did. But I believe that Obededom must have honored that ark in his house. Because the scripture said, the ark that just killed somebody now started blessing somebody else. Hello? And the blessing was so loud that the king heard. If you buy a new car with Tinubu here, he won't hear. Hello? If you build a new house, the governor, the president will not hear. But if they hear that you bought a ship or you bought five Boeing 767 planes, the president will hear. You'll say, who is that guy? That means there are dimensions of blessing that kings hear. So the kind of blessing that Obededom had, the king of his day heard it as you leave faith to faith convention. Marata payaros kebregediata. Loud blessings. Loud blessings. Authorities will hear about the blessing. Loud blessings. The Bible says kings shall come to the brightness of your rising. This is another level from Gentiles coming to your lights. Gentiles come to your lights, but kings show up when you start rising. Glory to God. For see, you might have encountered light, but you have not started rising. This convention, you will rise with light. You will rise with light. You will rise with light. You will rise with this light. That means there will be evident progress in your career, in your family, in the things that you handle. Kings will see it is working. It has been God's pattern. Do you know Abraham was blessed? Isaac and Abraham, the story. These people said, come, leave our area. You are running us out of resources. If you buy fuel from filling station, there's no more fuel remaining for all of us. 80% of the chicken in Port Harcourt. That's the kind of massiveness. Shout loud. Glory, loud. What was silent becomes loud. That blessing that was silent, it becomes loud. Koparati and Osita, Barati, Sataya, Mesitabaya. Everything you came in here that was silent by the power of the Holy Ghost, it becomes loud. It becomes loud. It becomes loud. It means that the power of God can add volume. You came today. The Holy Ghost is adding volume to the things happening in your life. Volume to the things happening in your life. You know, we all, well, sit down for a moment. As students, you could rent a small room and then you buy a small mattress and you just wrap it and come in the night and put it inside the house. Nobody knew you even bought mattress. But there are some houses, if you want to furnish it, the whole street will know. Because trucks will be coming from different places. People say, did I say that? You can't hide and move into some houses because of how big the massiveness. Are you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that those things you used to do quietly now, the blessing will make it that it has to be pronounced. So God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder. And so get ready to reward. Number one, God rewards your faith. When you believe Him, He rewards your faith. Number two, God rewards your faithfulness. What is the difference between faith and faithfulness? Faith is believing in God. Faithfulness is making God believe in you. The faithful is the one that God believes in him. He will deliver. As you, this convention, it is required of every steward that you be found faithful. Lift your hand and pray that prayer for yourself. It's required in every steward to be found faithful. Mekesila pratiata. Let me be found faithful. 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 Lesile bratona Maria talagadiados. Zemende ke pratosa. Zemende ke pratosia. Rebeke tomaliroso. Zeprendo ko prariaroso. Zapratala bakatiato. Zeprendo ko pratiata. Zemende ke pratosa labaya. Lebrondo ko pratiato. Zigadabaya raba. Zomende ke pratosa. Lebrondo ko prariarosa. Zakataya rabaya. Le rondo copretia tabareroso, zecreto parieroso, zecati andalabacatiaroso, rebecatoma lirabahasha, zemende capratos alabarieroso, capata, zerondo brediados, zigadaya, mecoprataya, meroda barriero, zecrepata, zemende capratiato, in Jesus' name. Some of you have been rewarded for your faith, but I want to encourage you to start being rewarded for your faithfulness. I'll say it again. Some of you have been rewarded for your faith. But some of you have never really enjoyed the reward system of God through your faithfulness. In this convention, may the Lord envelop you with a deeper understanding that will make you yearn to stay faithful. Faithful to the one that called you. Faithful to His word. Faithful to the leading of the Spirit. You see, this thing about morning devotion is a proof of faithfulness. Every morning you wake up to that place to worship God. Every morning you wake up to worship God. Every morning you wake up to worship God. Amen. God rewards those things. He rewards it. He rewards it. Look at your scriptures. He rewards faithfulness. And we need to teach believers to be faithful. From faith to faith convention, let your level of faithfulness increase. Amen. The parable Jesus was teaching in Luke 16, he said, be faithful in little things. He that is faithful in little is faithful. Let's start with being faithful in little. Today, lift your hand and say, I pledge by the help of God to be faithful in the little things. Now listen to me. Look at what's going to happen. This is the key to your promotion here. This thing I'm sharing is the key to promotion. That you are making up your mind today. Those little things you've ignored, that you're going to go back and be faithful to those little things. Then God will judge you faithful in much. That means that by being faithful in little, much will be committed to you. Much being committed to you is promotion. Ha ya 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 ya. Yagadaba shata yaraba. Zeprete legedia talabaya. Maratapa yaraba celebrato pariarose. Zemenko, imeko, celebrato, celebratos. Let me speak this word into your life. Your day of promotion is here. Your season of promotion is here. The gates for people to come into higher levels is open for all of us in this convention. I hear in my heart, it's promotion time. In Psalm 75, verse 5 to 7. Psalm 75, from verse 5 to 7. He says, lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. Keep going. Verse 6. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. This season, God is setting up somebody. You were on this ground level. God is stepping you up here. You are on this level. God is stepping you up here. But there's an instruction. Lift up your horn on high. Don't speak with a stiff neck. He's talking about don't allow pride hinder your promotion. In the New Testament, God resists the proud. It's not what he used to do. It's what he still does. The same way he rewards, he resists the proud. Peter had the same revelation. James had the same revelation. You think they don't know what they're saying? 1 Peter 5, 8, amen. Put it up. Then we'll go to James 4, 10. You see the same statement made. Go there. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. It says there, sorry, 6, not 8. It says there, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may. You know, sometimes because you always sing, I exalt you, you think it's only for God. There's the exaltation of God and there's the exaltation of men. To exalt you is to promote you. And I'm announcing that it's your due time. You came here today. He said, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself under his word and his spirit. This is an instruction. Some of you have put yourself in a place where you are not humbled under the mighty hand of God. You have come out from the mighty hand of God. Go and put your head back under the mighty hand of God. Say paria. I submit under the mighty hand of God. I submit under the mighty hand of God. I submit under the mighty hand of God. That means that stay under his cover. Amen. Promotion is here. This was the revelation of Peter about promotion. James also said the same thing. James chapter 4 verse 10. In James 4 verse 10, he said the same thing. Put it up. I could read it from my scripture. He said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And what will he do? He shall lift you up. Tonight is an enlistment for promotion. We're going to deal with some heart issues as we pray. Those heart issues are to position yourself in a place of humility. Amen. To humble yourself. See, humility is not a permanent virtue. You can be humble yesterday and proud today. You can be a former humble man and a present proud man. Are you with me? So there are people that were humble before, but now they are proud. So it's something you constantly adjust your heart to be humble before the Lord. Do you know some people that used to always pray about something? After a while, they're no more praying about it because they have become confident in themselves. I can do it. I can do it. It's not, you know, I just realized. Someone say, I just realized that it's not God that was helping me all the while. May you never come to that realization. Amen. May you never come to that realization. Amen. So any experience that tries to shift you into that kind of realization, you draw back. And you humble yourself. Do you know the scripture did not say he wants to humble you? He said you humble yourself. If you humble yourself, situations will not humiliate you. Can you take a minute? Prayer is one way we humble ourselves before God. Take a minute and pray. If there's an adjustment of heart you need to do right now, do it right now. And then prophetic words will be spoken over us, and then we'll wrap up this session. Lift up your voice. Pray, 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 pray. Mate, siladanda, kaparido, sobregadiate. Meretopaniana, makatiata. Merepaniana, zelegadiadabaya. Mekotopayariara. There is a position that you are supposed to stay in the place of this, of the spirit. But because of some kind of confidence that didn't come from God, you have shifted position. This evening, you will pray. Lesina Mariata. Some of you is a prayer of repentance. Lesina Mariato is a prayer of repentance, a change of mind and a change of action. Le parona bariata rabaya. A change of mind and a change of action. Le parianda kasiya tolabosho. Ratata namakatosia. Le brenda kasina makatosia. Rebekatianda rabakatosia. Rebekatianda ragadiata. Le brenda kasule bratiata. Zeneketianda rabaya. Rabakatona masieto. Zenemende keliarosa. Patierozo. Zigerea Rabato Jopretona Mahariroso Zepreto Rebecca Tomaliraba Kapaya Zeprende Copratia Dose Coparaba Carrieroso Zemende Kepratia Talabaya in Jesus' name. Now I'm speaking, and the power of God will come upon you. May the wind of promotion blow over everyone here that believes. May the wind of promotion sweep into every home that is listening to the sound of my voice. How you will know is a wind is that it's not only you that will partake. In the same way with some kind of infection comes and everybody catches it, this promotion, everybody will catch it. Receive promotion in the name of Jesus. Before this year comes to a close, there will be evidence of promotion in your life. In the name of Jesus. Before this year comes to a close, there will be evidence of promotion in your life. For some of you, career promotion. Career promotion. Receive in Jesus' name. For some of you, social promotion, status promotion. Receive in the name of Jesus. For some of you, financial promotion. Receive in the name of Jesus. Everyone here that has come to God because he believes he is, and has come to God because he believes he's a rewarder, let that reward of promotion rest upon you. This promotion will not be a quiet one. Others will hear. Others will hear. It is loud in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you, even where you live, the level of living, receive promotion. Amen. From a life of hand to mouth, receive promotion into a place of provision and abundance. Amen. Somebody here is promoted from being a tenant to a landlord. Amen. Receive promotion in the name of Jesus. From a squatter to a house owner, receive promotion in the name of Jesus. What somebody else did not consider promotion might be promotion to you. A single girl that believes to marry, to her, getting married is promotion. And so, if you are believing God for marriage, receive promotion into marriage. You are a man here, receive promotion into marriage. Some people, having a child is promotion for them. Now I was a husband, now I am a father. Nakapadia. Everyone that has been husband and wants promotion to fatherhood, receive promotion in the name of Jesus. Everyone that has been wife that wants to be promoted to mother, receive promotion in the name of Jesus. I stand in my office to announce to you, your promotion has been granted. Celebrate everywhere. Glory to God. Hey, promotion has come. I'm announcing to you that promotion has come. Ministerial promotion has come. Ha ha ha. Promotion has come.
Promotion has come. Hey, promotion has come. In the name of Jesus. Heaven has promoted you. The earth will align. Heaven has promoted you. Your office will align. Your street will align. Cooperatiato. Oh, you have been someone that just has a visiting visa and you want to be promoted to permanent residency. Receive promotion in the name of Jesus. If God opens your eye to see what's happening in the realm of the spirits. Oh, glory to God. You attended a night of promotion. You will post promoted tonight. Promoted tonight. You'll be posting, I just got promoted. The congratulations will start this night, but they will continue. So I stand to say to you, congratulations. Congratulations on your promotion. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's thank God for this evening, giving praise. Oh, we glorify you.
Thank you for listening to this message. Please, you can reach us via WhatsApp on 090-849-90878. You can also send us a message on info@faith2faithonline.org. For more messages, log on to our 24-hour radio platform at www.faith2faithradio.org. Join us this Sunday at Renaissance Assembly for a live transforming experience at Plot 5, Sania Batch Road, GRA Phase 3, Port Harcourt. First service, 8:30 a.m. and second service, 10:30 a.m. Renaissance Assembly, the church of the moment and the church of the future. God bless you. Generation in the view.